Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs. Ruby. Tripod Superdogs was inspired by photographer Sarah Loveland's own three-legged dog, Ruby. I'm Julie Hill. I interviewed Sarah about life with her ginger kangaroo, Ruby.
Ruby came to us when she was about 18 months old. She was a rescue. She came over from Ireland.
Yeah.
And when I first saw her in the kennels, she was completely switched off. And she's a ginger, kind of lurchery kind of dog. So very fast on her feet. And one of the other dogs that I owned at the time liked that kind of breed to chase and play with. He was very uncertain of lots of other dogs, but he liked that breed. So I was drawn to her. And she was crazy. She had springs in her feet. She'd be on the dining room table. It would be high-speed laps around the lounge, up and over anything. You know, we used to call her our ginger nutter because she really was completely... She'd just be quiet. And then suddenly, this burst of energy would come from nowhere. And she would literally... If she could have been on the ceiling, she would have been. Yeah, she was very, very lively.
Yeah.
And even, you know, before she had to lose a leg, she was still running around at speed at 13 years old.
Wow.
So she was 13, but she would still give my younger dogs a run for their money on a field, high-speed, fast laps of the field.
She loved
the chase and run. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember. So now, take us to how did Ruby lose a leg?
She had been running around as normal with my other dogs. And then later in the day, she was limping a bit. We thought, okay, maybe she's just pulled a bit of a muscle because she's 13 and, you know, she's running around at high speed and maybe, you know, she's just like tweaked something. Something's just pulled a little bit of a muscle or something. So we kind of like kept an eye on it for a day or two and thought, no, this isn't right. To the vets we go. So our vet is absolutely amazing and lovely. And she had a good look at her and she thought, yeah, maybe it's a muscle and we'll have some, you know, the good old, some meds, anti-inflammatory meds to see if, and to rest it as much as possible and see if that makes a difference. And over the course of a week, it wasn't getting better. If anything, it was getting worse.
Oh.
And, the meds weren't working. So I took her back to the vets for a recheck. And our lovely vet said, well, let's just do an x-ray just to be on the safe side to see if there's anything going on. Unlikely, but we'll have a look.
So,
sure enough, had an x-ray, and the x-ray flagged up straight away that the bone didn't look quite right. It wasn't as dense as it should be. And then there was concerns then that it was cancer in the bone.
Yeah.
So the next step was to do a biopsy. Also, there's a risk with that because obviously it's a big needle and it can cause more damage to the bone if it's already really weak. But they kind of already knew that it was likely to be cancer from what they were seeing.
Yeah.
That perhaps we'd caught it, you know, fairly early. But generally speaking, if it's showing up in the x-ray, it's there and, you know, it's likely to appear somewhere else. So although we wait a couple of days or so for the biopsy result, the kind of the question mark was, what do we do? We could operate and remove the source of the pain because she was in an incredible amount of pain.
Oh, bless.
On a lot of meds, and it wasn't really, you couldn't touch the leg. And this has gone from high speed running to not being able to even touch her in the space of 2 weeks. It was very, very quick. And then we had to look at all of the options and we did have to look at the facts and say, look, okay, she is 13. What is it going to look like? You know,
because
in my mind, I'd never met a dog. I might have met one briefly that had three legs, but I'd never known anybody that had been through it.
I was
doing, you know, good old Google, having a good old look through, getting as much information as I could. And the prognosis wasn't looking great. It was kind of like, well, if we do amputate, we may only have 4 months. And then so to humans, although she wouldn't be in any pain, so it'd be a pain-free 4 months. You're thinking, is it worth putting her through, losing her leg for 4 months? And then that's kind of, so you're having to answer some sort of big questions in your own mind.
Yeah.
But dogs, but at that point, you have to remember that 4 months to a dog is a long time.
Yeah.
They very much in the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it becomes very complex, these equations that you're doing and balancing and sort of, how much of this am I doing for the dog? And if I think it's for the dog, is it genuinely for the... And you can't analyse that, and how much is it for me? Oh, my goodness, it becomes very, very complicated very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it has to be quick as well, because you're thinking, well, if she has got cancer, You need to remove that from the body.
Yeah.
And also, in fact, she was in pain. We didn't want her to be in pain. So we had to make quite quick decisions. And it was right before Easter.
Oh.
But it's something, you know, where you think, well, we need to make a decision. We're going to do this now. But yeah, I had to really make sure that we were doing it for her and not for me.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to lose her. Because we'd, you know, about a month before lost another dog.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, are we really going through this again? And is this the best thing for Ruby? But my vet was very good, and she is very experienced and has her own dogs of different ages and breeds and things like that. She had experience as well with, you know, treating other dogs with this condition.
Yeah.
And she said Ruby's frame, in fact, she's quite springy, and she's quite, you know, springy on her back feet as well. You know, she felt she would cope well with having the three legs. That was a big factor. She was already on some meds for a little bit of a sore back. So we had to bear that in mind, that making a leg away was going to have a little bit more of a impact on everything else.
Yeah.
So in my mind, in my heart, I knew that that she would cope with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, right, no, this is what we're going to do. And then I had to prepare my husband Jeremy as well. Then this is what it's, because I was doing all the research. He was a bit like, he couldn't look at it. So kind of like, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be, kind of thing. And I had to kind of like do the research. Yes, it's okay. Because I can't believe it to start. Because the vet said, I said, how long will it take her to recover from having her leg amputated? We're maybe only going to get 4 months. And she said 2 weeks.
Wow.
I said 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I go for a long run, and sometimes I think, oh, it's raging.
True, you're telling me
you can remove a leg, hit a leg from my dog, and she'll be as happy as anything on no pain meds in 2 weeks. And she goes, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Joking. But I always couldn't believe that. So I can't believe this is actually true. Because you see, like, what humans do. You can break a leg. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it takes like weeks and weeks to heal and all this kind of thing. And I thought, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So with all the facts on board, we said, yeah, let's do the operation and we will help her the best we can.
Yeah.
And very much I went into it wanting to be led by Ruby rather than, you know, this is how it's going to be and we're just going to take it one day at a time and just see how she is and how she copes with it.
Yeah.
Completely blew my mind. Incredible. She stayed in overnight. She had the operation, stayed in overnight so she could have some pretty heavy duty, kind of like pain meds.
Yeah.
And she was on pain meds and stuff. And when we went to collect her, the vet met us first, prepared us, you know, what it would look like. And, you know, and then Ruby hopped out with a nurse on her own. She just hopped.
Wow.
Towards us. And I said, do I need parents out to the car? And they said, no, she can do it. And I was thinking, yeah, that's, you know, this is massive. And so, you know, they said, just do a few steps, let her have a rest. And she'd always like lean against me, have a few steps and lean, you know, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It's tricky to pick up a dog with three legs, though, I have to say.
Yes.
But where do you put the hands? She had a massive, they took the shoulder blade as well. So she had a massive wound.
Yeah.
So, so it's a bit tricky. That was a bit like that.
Yeah. Especially in the early days when it's all raw and sore. You don't want to sort of touch the wound, do you?
No. So that bit was quite tricky in and out of the car. But other than that, I did a mad dash out to the supermarket for some boys aged 5 T-shirts. He cut the sleeves off and stitched them up. And then, so she had a T-shirt. She had a wardrobe for a week.
Aww.
Different T-shirts. And so she didn't lick it or bother the stitches and things like that.
Yeah.
Also, so we didn't scare anybody when we were out.
Oh, bless.
Fairly, you know, Frankenstein's dog when you've had a big, you know, injury like that.
Yeah, because they shave as well, don't they? So much is shaved and you can see.
Massive area.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came home and she looked fairly bright and it was all good. And
Yeah.
Oh, bless. Amazing. She, the first couple of nights were a bit tricky. I slept sort of set on the floor with her, and
yeah,
as you do, you know, the dog some of us we do sort of like do that. But yeah, it was, I think it was even just like the next, we've got a grass playing field right opposite our house, and I love getting over there, and we let her sort of hop over there so she could have a sniff about, and hopping around, and each day he just got faster and better at it. And it was okay. And I threw the ball for the other dogs on the date, and then she ran after it. She said, "I didn't get that." And I was like, "Oh no, what's, like a panic on my face." And well, and he said, "Well, okay, if she wants to go for the ball, she can go for the ball. That's fine."
Oh, bless her.
Yeah. So we just very much were led by her on a day by day basis, rather than trying to like, no, you can't do that, or you can't go there. Or she'd say, "I'd want to go on the sofa," and you'd have to put her quick and lift her up, because you had to be a bit careful with things like that.
Yeah.
But generally, yeah, I just couldn't believe it. And sure enough, yeah, within two weeks, 2 weeks, the stitches were all out, and she was on some meds, but only because of her age, really, and her back, a bit sore. And,
oh.
Yeah, and she had started physio, so she had a monthly, 4 week physio appointment where she'd have a massage.
Yeah.
A bit pampered, and yeah, life went on.
Oh, so I mean, did she kind of go back to being Ruby, the Ruby you'd known, that full of energy Ruby and full of life?
Yeah, the cheekiness, she was definitely very much herself.
Yeah.
She didn't seem sad at all, anything like that. She was very much like, right, well, what are we going to do now? Or they go and pick the dog leads up, because we've always had like more than one dog. She would be at the front of the queue to have her harness put on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So kind of harness so that we could help her more, the lifting in and out of the car and helping and things like that.
Yeah.
And then she'd have days where she'd go, right, I'm going to chase those boys around the field. and she would.
Oh, bless.
But yeah, very much herself. But yeah, her personality didn't change at all.
No, bless her. I was thinking, as we're talking, dogs benefit so much from, psychologically. They don't worry about the what ifs. They don't have that poor me. And they don't worry about what do I look like, They just, okay, I'm here, I'm having fun. Okay, off we go. That's all they care about, isn't it?
Yeah. It's maybe put the t-shirts on so that other people, she doesn't need anybody else out, but she was not bothered at all. She just wanted to be out. She wanted to be out with the other dogs and not missing out on stuff. And we did do things like we did buy it. Well, we already had it from the previous dog, like a pushchair buggy thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas if she got tired, she could hop in, because you kind of had to build up what she did gradually.
Yes. Yeah.
So that the other legs could get used to taking the weight, and she'd stand slightly differently. So the other leg would come across towards the centre a little bit more. And her back legs would stand slightly wider, so she had a pretty much a good tripod kind of stance about her.
Yeah,
we did build up stuff gradually and make sure she didn't overdo it.
Yeah,
which was a bit tricky to start with in terms of that, because sometimes I think she would, if we were on the playing field and she saw a dog the other side, she would go, "I'm going over there."
Good for her.
At 13, I don't know what age it starts, but it's usually perhaps like after 10, they decide the rules no longer apply.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, doesn't matter how much training you've done from a youngster up, they reach an age where you go, and they go, "Oh, no, go over there."
Yes. Even with three legs, I can still outpace you. I'm going.
And how fast they can actually move, even on three legs, if there's a Labrador over the other side of the field, they are going to go and say hello. Her personality didn't change at all. She was very much Ruby right through.
Good for her. That's amazing. And of course, when she did get over the other side of the field, the other dog would just accept her and just play, and everything's happy, isn't it?
Well, there's one time I had her on the lead, and she didn't really like, she would like prefer to be off the lead. So I had her off the lead, and there was another Labrador. Labradors were her favourite.
Yeah.
Very, very big Labrador. And she was really excited to see this dog. And the guy had put the dog on the lead because Ruby had three legs.
Yeah.
He goes, "I don't want him to knock her over."
Oh.
Because he was a big, big dog.
Mm.
Similar age to her. I said, "Don't worry about it." So he let him off. He had a little chase around. I was thinking, "Oh, it's enough now." I was worried that she might overdo it or something like that. But she's like, no, we're going to have a play now.
Oh,
yes. Reactions from other people have been very interesting. Because sometimes you do get that, oh, no, what happened? You know, what's happened? You're right. Well, she's amazing.
I do that myself. I'll see it. I saw one the other day, the three-legged little dachshund in a pram. And I went over and said, oh, can I say, and you do get that instinct. Can I, but they aren't to be pitted, are they, at all? They're still in the midst of life and having fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think when I made the decision to have the operation, I worried a little bit that I might get judged, I think, by other people, whether it be on Facebook, social media. Or out, because she is 30, was 30 and then, that they might think, oh, you know, am I doing the right thing? Whereas I was quite confident in my decision that it was the right thing.
Yeah.
But you do think, oh, you know, what are other people thinking? Are they judging me as a dog owner?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it is interesting. And this is the thing, it's kind of, I might have thought that about other dogs before. And now, like, no way at all. It's been absolutely amazing. Both Ruby, how she coped with it all, and the other dogs that I've met as part of this project, it's been absolutely amazing.
We'll come on to that, but I just wanted two things there about judging that I just wanted to talk about. So I think that's a really important point, that whatever decision you make, as long as it's you're making it for the dog, whether you decide we're going to go ahead and we're going to have, you know, we're going to lose that leg and then we're going to buy the dog some time, hopefully, or whether you decide that's not the course that you and that dog are taking, I think we have to trust that the owner is making that decision on an individual basis for their dog. And as you said, and not judge, just try and support.
I mean, obviously, we know our dogs the best.
Yes.
We know what they're like at home and what they're capable of and what their quality of life is like. And it's that quality of life that is the most important thing. If it's going to impact and they're not going to have a great quality of life, then it's a different decision to be made. But I think, you know, we all know ourselves the best, you know?
Yeah.
We all know our dogs the best too.
Definitely.
Sometimes they think that, you know, they know better, but
But
we know.
Absolutely. And the other thing, you know, using strollers or pushchairs or prams or whatever mobility aids for them. Again, we had to use one with our Bichon Frise, who had cruciate ligament surgery. And so she was in a stroller just briefly. And I got so cross with people judging that I put a big label on it saying, you know, I am recovering from cruciate ligament surgery. Again, the odds are that person is using that stroller or pushchair or whatever for the dog's good. So again, you know, by all means, go over and say, oh, hi, why are you using a stroller? Have the conversation. Don't judge, though, because it's probably for a jolly good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not something you take lightly, but it's kind of like, you know, it's something that makes their quality of life even better.
Yeah.
And we bought it for the dog that we'd lost earlier at the start of last year. And that transformed his quality of life.
Yeah.
Because then he could come out with the younger dogs. And that's, you know, they're part of the family, and then they want to be part of the family. They don't want to stay at home and they're in their bed or crate or on the sofa while you're all out having a good time.
Yeah.
They want to be there too. So we have to do whatever we can so that they can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you did buy Ruby a lot more time, didn't you, with the loss of the leg? That, and it was good quality time. But she did have a lot more time, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. So we thought we might get 4 to 6 months because we didn't do chemotherapy as well. It did just the amputation, and that was because she was older, we felt like she needed to be having good time out, not lots of vet appointments. So we thought maybe 4 to 6 months, and we got 9 months, heading towards 10 months with her. And she was very, you know, she had a really good quality of life right up to the end. It was very quick, the downward kind of spiral on that. She absolutely lived her life to the full. Even Christmas, we didn't think we'd get Christmas all together, and we did, and we went away all together, and she had a lovely Christmas.
And as you say, that 9 months is a big chunk of a dog's life, so that's a significant time that you got her. And Good quality time. Yeah. Happy time.
Yeah. Get a couple of good, get some good holidays and trips out, and days out and things like that.
Yeah.
Lots of fun with the younger dogs. And
yeah.
We did what we could to kind of maintain her. Like, so you'd have the physio appointment every 4 weeks to massage her back.
Yeah.
She would go and lie on this pink mattress like a princess.
Oh.
Demands to be massaged.
Good for her. So then, as you're, I won't say dealing with this life, because it wasn't like dealing with, but as you're adjusting to life with a three-legged dog, which is not as big an adjustment as you maybe had anticipated. So then, was it that you sort of started meeting lots of other owners of other three-legged dogs?
I joined right before we had the operation, when I was in that horrible space of trying to make decisions.
Yeah.
I did a little search on Facebook to see if there were any groups. And I found a couple of groups on there, one which had a lot more owners from abroad, from the United States. And then there was one that was a UK based. So I kind of joined these groups because I wanted to do more research, make the best decision. And that kind of, in there were videos of their dogs running and playing and doing all these amazing things. And I was like, wow. You know, I didn't even think, you know, that there were so many dogs out there. This was perhaps more of a normal thing than perhaps, you know, I was aware of. And also what the dogs were able to do.
Yeah.
And it's so positive in there, in these groups. And that made me aware that suddenly there's lots of people going through what I was going through or had been through. And their dogs were like living their lives to the full.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was amazing to see. And that really helped me make my decision.
Yeah.
But also how amazing these dogs were.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. And which led you on to this tripod project. And then you've taken lovely, you're a photographer. Obviously, you're going to take nice photos, but they are beautiful photos of the other tripods in the project. And it's beautiful, and it really does capture, when you look at them, they're not stationary. I mean, they're dashing through the waves or they're running in the field.
Yeah.
They're active dogs. They're dogs, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's with Ruby, there's a Ruby before, but also lots of pictures of her before, but also after the operation and things like that. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be lovely to be able to showcase some of these other dogs and what they can do? So I'd shout out in the Facebook group to see if anybody was like, you know, where they were in the country and would they be interested in having a little photo shoot with me so I could meet them. So we did that. So we met up and chat. And it was important to me to capture the dogs, get up a studio set up where they were just sitting and smiling at the camera, if you like, like a school photo. But I wanted to capture more of their personality and what they liked to do, what they love. You know, what they really love to do. So that's why we kind of did photo shoots outside, them doing things that they loved, which was absolutely amazing. And it was, you know, one of the photo shoots we did was with a lovely dog, Bella. And it was at the beach, went to the beach because she loved the beach.
Yeah.
And it was actually the first time she was at the beach since the operation, because she wasn't long post-op.
Yeah.
So it was her first visit back to the beach. And it was amazing for me to be able to photograph her and capture that moment at the beach. It's just incredible. I mean, that would be one moment that really sticks in my mind, because we picked a bit of beach where there's just a couple of steps so she could be lifted down onto the sand. So it's like, and we also picked the time so the tide was fairly in, so she didn't have too far to go because she was water obsessed.
Yeah.
And her lovely owner said, you know, she might just run in, she might want to go, she'll probably want to go in the sea for a paddle. But as soon as we hit the sand, she took one look at us and she goes, I'm going in the sea. And she legged it down the sand straight into the water. And we were like, oh, hey, then.
Oh, but
then probably goes, oh, what's happened to her? Is she all right? And we're like, oh, yeah, she's fine. Yeah, it's just so fun. We just like laughed and cried at the same time, because it's such an amazing moment to see her. She wasn't going, oh, well, I've only got three legs now, I can't do it.
Mm.
She was like, I'm going in the sea. Bye.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, see it. Yeah. I mean, I think that sums up my experience of chatting to the owners when you say we laughed and we cried. I think that sums it up well, because, I mean, dogs, they do live in your emotions, don't they? Live in your heart, and it stirs up the very strong emotions. But it was, you know, I was going to say, looking at those photos, you can see the joie de vivre, the joy those dogs still have, and that's clear from the owners. But you know, again, the owners have been through that psychological aspect of your dog losing a leg. So I think that's something. Oh, was laughing and crying, but in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. And they've all lost legs for different reasons and things like that. So, you know, some is a result of cancer. Some, you know, simple as, you know, breaking a leg whilst on a walk you know, in some kind of accident at home in the garden. And just things you don't expect or plan for. So, you know, they have all been through big stuff, but sometimes I think it's harder for us humans than it has been for the dogs in most cases, I would say.
Yeah.
Most cases they've just got on with it and shown us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to say to people, whether they know nothing about three-legged dogs, they've never met one, whether they're facing that decision, or, you know, when you're out and about and you meet a three-legged dog, what would you like them to know about three-legged dogs?
All dogs are so resilient and amazing, and they do very much live in the moment. So if they're out, they want to be out. You know, if they're chasing the ball, they want to be chasing the ball. They're doing exactly what they want to do in that moment, and it's just sort of more awareness, really, that actually, you know, dogs can always teach us a lot in terms of that living in the moment and making the most of each day, and that they are really amazing. They have so much courage and resilience. They're like little superheroes, really, with three paws.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
If you're in the position where you're making this difficult decision, then you know your dog the best. You know what they're capable of. You can be guided by, you know, the information on the internet, and a good vet will help to guide you as well. I was very lucky in the sort of the people that I had around me that I, you know, I've had dogs for a long time, so I'm very confident in the sort of the advice that I was, you know, being given. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know what's right for you and what's right for your dog first. You and your dog as a team, you know, you've both got to work through it together.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, dogs, I'm a dog lover through and through. I always have been. So it's hard to see. You don't want to see your dog in pain at all.
No.
But yeah, so you do what you can to give them the best lives that you can. You know, particularly like Ruby, she was a rescue. So we always said that, perhaps, you know, when you get a rescue, they rescue you as much as anything else. They teach you a lot,
but
she was very special. She was a very special dog. I mean, sadly, you know, we lost her to the cancer. It did come back, which we knew it would, because they generally, if it's in the blood, it's gonna reappear somewhere.
But
we had a lot longer than we thought we were going to. And we were very grateful for that.
I'm sure she was too. Bless her. She was lovely.
Yeah,
absolutely lovely. And again, I guess if anybody is going through this, if they're struggling with a decision, or if their dog has lost a leg for whatever reason, it is important to say, come and check us out. Come and check out the Tripod project. But also, as you say, go onto social media. You will find other people. The support is there. The camaraderie is there. So find that support.
Absolutely. And when I put the shout out for people for photo shoots on for this project, two of the people, they lived very close to each other. And they had never met. So they kind of did the photo shoots back to back at the same place. And then they got to have a chat as well, which was really lovely. So there is a lot of support out there in these groups as well, which is lovely. It's just lovely to see what, you know, dogs can do, you know?
Yeah. Is your website a good place for people to go to as a start to see some lovely photos of the dogs and find out more about the project?
My website, sarahloveland.com, there's a page, because it's going to be an exhibition where people can sort of see the pictures locally to me, but also they'll all be on the website as well. So if you're not local or you're, you know, further afield, then you can still see the pictures and hear the stories about the different dogs and how amazing they are.
Excellent. Sarah, I'm really glad that Ruby found you because you've been a brilliant advocate for her, as you are with all your dogs. And so I'm glad for her that she found you. I'm glad for you she found you. Sometimes the right person and the right dog just find each other, don't they?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in that. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. You know, things do happen for a reason, and you know, they come into our lives to, you know, to make them better. You know, certainly there was a lot more laughter and love as a result of having Ruby in our lives.
Ruby not only enriched Sarah's life, she inspired the Tripod Superdog Initiative. You can see Sarah Loveland's portraits of Ruby and all the Tripod Superdogs at sarahloveland.com. And look out for the hashtag Tripod Superdogs on social media. Hear more from Julie at dogcastradio.com. Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs.